bring in newsmaker Governor Chris Sununu joining us, GMI Studios. Good morning, Governor.
Am I a real newsmaker, Jack? Are we making news? What's the news?
I don't know. We can discuss news.
Hey, yeah, we can discuss.
Let's talk on a bright note for a moment. This weather foliage, we had your Commissioner for Economic Development and Tourism, Taylor Caswell, on the show a week ago. This is going to be a banner. It feels like it's going to be a banner fall season. Do you feel that tourism-wise?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I was up in Dixville Notch yesterday morning. I did a sunrise hike up at Table Rock.
You're back to hiking. Good stuff.
It was my first hike since the illness. It's a short hike. It's very steep.
I know.
It's not easy.
I know where it is.
it's absolutely beautiful. And I did a little ATV, but the foliage is so peak up there because it's been a fairly wet summer. And so, therefore, the foliage is just, it's robust. And so, businesses are booming, a lot of tourism up there. People are out on the trails. They're enjoying the beautiful weather. It's 74 degrees today. I'm in Concord right now, but I got to tell you, there's no better place to be than really kind of north of here, because that's where you're getting all the best that New Hampshire has to offer. It's great.
All right. Hey, let's start with some legislative news. You had called for the other day Representative Ken Wilde to step down from the fiscal committee after some documents he shared about COVID-19 and other theories surfaced that got controversial. We had Deputy House Speaker Steve Smith on the show yesterday saying that Speaker Packard and the House legislative side would handle this. I think he basically said he didn't appreciate you sort of knocking on the door, but understood your concerns, and obviously it resulted in the resignation of Mr. Weil, a representative. He's been there a long time on the fiscal side. This story's pretty much over now, but your thoughts on this? Do you think it was the right thing?
Oh, without a doubt, and we're moving on. I mean, anyone in a leadership position can't be thrown out. I mean, it's not just a difference of opinion, Jack. It's like really out there, bizarre conspiracy theories. You wouldn't even see some of this in a science fiction movie. I mean, it really was really wacky stuff. So, and leadership positions, and you know, has a responsibility of that voice of making sure that data and information is real and it's transparent. And then we can have the debate on what to do based on what we're seeing. But this was just absolute nonsense. So, I had been calling on it for a few weeks, and they did the right thing, and we're moving on.
No surprise to you, the state Democratic Party is pretty much trying to pounce each day. And, of course, one of the latest releases I saw was you going to campaign for or help fundraise for former Maine Governor LePage, I think, in Kenny Bunkport. I don't know when that's coming up. But they hammered away saying, you know, that's a bad thing based on Governor Page's past controversial statements or positions. You feel good about going there to help the former Maine governor?
I used to work with Governor LePage. Governor LePage is a friend, and Governor LePage sees how successful we've been here in New Hampshire, and he sees kind of the things have really gone wrong, especially during the pandemic in Maine. A lot of confusion, a lot of back and forth about restrictions, this, and then they back themselves up on that. Folks in Maine look at us as a model, and they want to be more like us, frankly, and I think Governor LePage understands that. He has a pathway to do that, and I think he's going to be very successful in getting elected in 2022, so.
Governor Chris Sununu on Good Morning New Hampshire in the 11 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us live. Governor, let me switch gears again and stay on the political side for a moment. I do notice the state Democratic Party, especially in the last few weeks, going back to when the entire delegation had that Zoom meeting criticizing you and the executive council over the vote on future funding for Planned Parenthood, going at you hard on your pro-choice position, questioning that. We had Senator Hassan on the show the next day. She stood by all those questions. It seems the heat's turning up on you, either to kind of ferret out if you're going to be running for Senate, governor again, or not at all. And it's continuing. And Governor Hassan, as you know, has paid ads up now. Talking about
millions, Jack. Millions of paid ads.
Right.
And millions of hit pieces and dark money organizations that she says she's against, but they're paying them millions of dollars to run these nonsense ads. It's desperation.
Well, my question is, and it may be desperation, but I think they're just assuming from a strategic point of view that you're the governor, you're the incumbent, and if you run, you're going to bring a pretty high favorability rating into a primary race in the Senate if that's where you go. So my point is, how long can you politically sustain the attacks, if you will, while you go the balance of October and November before you make a decision? In other words, if you're, you know, it's like the movie with Michael Douglas, the American president. When you're being defined by an opponent and you're not firing back, if you will, it can affect your own approval rating number. So at what point do you say, okay, enough's enough, I got to make a decision here?
Well, Well, look, they've tried to make this false argument on my record on where I have stood by and fought for these contracts that support women's health and women's choice year after year after year of being governor, and I've done it. And Senator Hassan was there when I passed the deciding vote to make sure Planned Parenthood was funded. I mean, she was there. So they know what nonsense that is. They try this argument all the time, and it absolutely goes nowhere. But to your point, I am someone who says I don't just sit by and let people speak untruths. So at some point, absolutely, I think there is a point where you got to push back a little and say, look, I'm not going to have a debate on the issue as other than to say, look at my record. It is crystal clear. Look at these dark money organizations. Don't even know where this money's coming from. All this out-of-state money the Democrats are pushing. Remember Senator Hassan saying she was against all this, but now she's utilizing it to her benefit to the tune of millions of dollars. That's not fair. And it's not just not fair to me. It's not fair to the citizens of this state who just want to know facts, and they again look at candidates based on policy positions and how much they connect with community and all of those sorts of things. That's where elections really need to be. So I'm not even running for anything yet, and these people are so desperate and so scared that they're spending millions of dollars with all this stuff. But I am someone that at some point is going to say, look, enough's enough, and we lay the record out there. We'll let people make their choice for them. We don't try to manipulate data or information or lies or any of that stuff. We just lay the real record out there, and so at some point maybe there is a time just to push back so people know that, you know, this is where we are. You agree with me, you agree with me. You want to vote for me, vote for me. You don't. That's fine. I always let the chips fall where they may. But the amount of lies and outside money that's just driving this stuff is, in 2021, it's not even an election year. It's just unconscionable. I think people are kind of sick of it.
Governor, you recently went to California to keynote the Republican annual convention. You're going to Maine to help former Governor LePage, someone you work with. Any more out-of-state trips coming up? And does that sort of lend people to think that you are looking at a bigger political stage than governor or not?
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Look, I go out of state. I'm going out of state to talk to the National Republican Jewish Coalition out west at some point. Look, I'm a third-term governor. I'm getting a lot of invitations to spend more time talking to different folks. I don't talk to fundraisers. We don't raise money. We're not talking about that stuff. People ask me if I'm running for Senate at these events as much as you guys ask me here, and I just tell them that I really haven't made that decision yet. But no, there's nothing political there other than just trying to help good organizations or good candidates in their races or whatever it is. But, you know, we're doing really well in this state. We really are. So every once in a while, I might take a trip to help somebody out.
Governor, anyone coming here to help you out nationally?
No.
Okay.
I'm not running for anything. Well, if I decide to run for something, maybe I could always, you know, I'm always willing, looking for help. But no, I don't have anything planned. Do you have any ideas?
No, no. I don't know. Well, no, after the game the other night, Tom Brady said that he would be, well, no, I'm kidding. Hey, real quick. you had said on the show a while ago, looking at the COVID right now, hospitalizations, which is a metric I've always looked at, just with the kind of the dumb feeling that if someone's really sick, they're going to have to go to the hospital. So we're back to school already. That's underway. These numbers seem to be kind of hovering. I mean, we're already doing the transition. The national folks will tell us how to plan our holidays. I look at the,
my Lord.
I know, I look at the Patriots game the other night, 70,000 people in there. I don't think they need to be told how to do Christmas or Thanksgiving. My point though is, it seems to me that we've already been told it's going to be a twindemic, a killer flu season. We heard that last year. Are you still as worried as you echoed a little bit, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, sort of that November, December, end of the year period? Do we still have to get there to find out if we're kind of hovering where we're going to be or not?
Yeah, no, I'm still very concerned. I think the end of the year, I haven't changed my opinion. I think the winter surge is still going to be there. I think it might be shifting a few weeks forward or a few weeks back. I haven't figured that piece out. But there's no doubt we're going to have a very severe winter surge. It very well could be combined with the flu. It could be Delta variant. It could be another variant. There's no question about it. It doesn't mean we're locking things down and doing all that kind of stuff again. It just means we have to be prepared. We have to be aware and understand those risks. And that's why I keep promoting folks to get vaccinated. We want everyone to get vaccinated. There's no doubt it saves lives. It saves the ability to go to the hospital. And when you look at our hospitalization rate, we actually might still be the best in the country. The best in the country. One of the lowest fatality rates in the country. That's not by accident. It's because we really have a great team. We have a very open economy. We don't shut things down and put statewide mandates all over the place. We're not doing any of that. None of it. I don't care what Joe Biden says. We're not going that route. It is an individual choice, but we just want to keep pushing the right information so people are making that right choice, getting vaccinated, and hedging their health risk, which is what is likely going to be a very difficult winter.
Before I let you go, that recent executive council meeting at St. Anselm College Institute of Politics, it had to be called off because of the protesters and concern for safety. One of the ideas that may have come up may have been that $17 million that the council has to vote on funding to continue some of the Biden, the pushes, if you will, on vaccines and so forth. Some people have said don't take the money. Some people have said take it. I think you're in support of taking it. Are you worried about, you know, what conditions are for taking that or not?
No, in fact, the Attorney General is releasing and the Executive Council asked the Attorney General to look at that information and see what we'd be beholden to. And very clearly, the letter that is my understanding that's going to go today, just in conversations with them, is that we're not beholden to anything with the federal government. We make our own rules here. I don't care if Joe Biden is talking about a vaccine mandate, people are talking about quarantine camps and all this craziness. It ain't happening here. It's not going to happen. We don't have to. It's very ambiguous language. We don't have to abide by anything that the secretary says. We can take the money, and we make our own rules. And because we've always done that, we have a history of always doing that, we're very successful in how we manage it. So that's another example of just a lot of conspiracy theory misinformation out there. We're going to make our own rules, and we do not have to abide by these nationalized mandates or anything like that. We can do what we need to do at the state government level, to be sure.
Governor, as we let you go, I heard part of your interview this morning with Mike Pomp, our colleague in the Morning Information Center. Mike asked you at the end of the interview, I'm paraphrasing, if your family gives you consults or suggests what you may or may not want to do, as everyone, like myself included, ask you if you're going to run for Senate governor or not at all. This morning in the interview, and you'd said before on my show that your family's been supportive of whatever you choose to do, whether it be in Washington, here, or elsewhere. But with Mike, you mentioned private sector twice, and as an option of what you may do next. You haven't said that much recently in my interviews. It's been either Senate or governor again. Is the private sector thoughts entering your mind recently?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, public service is wonderful, and I think we've done a great job of it. But, of course, the private sector, it's not a career. I mean, these politicians that stay in office for 20 and 30 years, it's kooky. So I don't think it should be a career. But if there's a private sector opportunity, I got kids I want to put through college, and there's other good candidates that can step up. And, I mean, if the polls show anything, as you and I have discussed, that almost anybody can beat Maggie Hassan at this point. I mean, these numbers are so bad for her. So it doesn't have to be the Chris Sununu race or whatever it is. A lot of folks could run, or a lot of folks could be governor, I think, do a good job. So private sector is definitely in the mix, to be sure.
All right, thanks for the time on this Thursday. Enjoy a beautiful day out there.
Are you accepting resumes, Jack? I mean, should I be sending one there? I don't want to be pushy, but I'm just saying.
Hey, not many,
I think you and a co-host, maybe.
You got it. Not many governors can operate a snow grooming machine as well. So you got definite choices out there. Or ATVs. Thank you, governor.
There you go. All right. Thank you, buddy. All right. Bye.